just one word. I asked the Lord, what do you want me to speak on today? And he gave me just one word. You can see that word right up there. And I just one single word. I thought, Lord, got to have more than that. But go is the word. Go is the word. Okay, we're done. You wish. Hallelujah. I'm here to proclaim this morning that revival is upon us. We are in revival. Not just our church, our nation is in revival. Amen? The Spirit of the Lord is moving on the earth in great power. Oh, how. Oh, what, that we get to live in such a time as this? Wow. But the revival that's here will cost us something. We can't just sit by and watch revival happen around us. Say, oh, that's fun. No, we must get involved. We must get involved. In Matthew, we read in chapter 9, verse 35, this is the background of the story that I want to share a verse about. It says, then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing every sickness and every disease. Every. You could put your name in the front of that. Then Mike went about in all the cities and villages because I walk in his authority. Yeah. Amen. So do you. And every disease among the people. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them because they were weary and scattered like a sheep having no shepherd. And then he says this next verse. Powerful. But then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plentiful. It was then, it is now. The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Say, I'm a laborer. I'm a laborer. I'm going to get you all yet. I'm a laborer in his harvest. Hallelujah. And that's God and us. He's working in the harvest. He's producing the harvest. But he's asking us to be participants in it. We're both critical participants in the harvest. So when the Lord said, go, the first thing that came to my mind was Mark 16:15. It says, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Wow. That's a command. Did you know that? You are commanded to go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'm just letting that sink in for a second. Go into all the world. And then he goes on in that verse. In verse 16 he says, and he who believes in me and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. Do I have any believers here? These signs that he's listing here will follow you as you believe. As you go and preach the gospel to every creature, these signs will follow you as you believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it will by no means hurt them, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. And then a second verse that came to me was in Matthew chapter 28, and there it says, "All authority." And Jesus said in verse 18, Matthew 28:18. And Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Go therefore. Now, the therefore is there because of what's before, right? That's what therefore is for. So what's before this verse? Go, what's before go? That God had given him all authority in heaven and earth. Jesus had it all. There wasn't anybody that had more authority than Jesus, was there? Is there? And you stand in him. You have his authority. You stand in authority over every power, every demon, every sickness, every disease, everything the enemy brings. And James says, if you resist him, he'll fight, and you might win. No, that's not what it says. If you resist him, he will flee from you. He's afraid of you. Did you know that? He's afraid of you because you have the authority of Christ in you. So he said, go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you to the very end of the age. Jesus is with us as we go. Hallelujah. And then there's two more verses that deal with it. In Luke chapter 24, beginning in verse 45. And he opened up their understanding, the disciples' understanding, that they might comprehend the scriptures. And then he said to them, thus it is written, it is necessary for Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, that repentance and remission of sins be preached in his name to all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. And then the key verse is 48. And you are witnesses of these things. He's calling us to be witnesses, to testify that Jesus has done it. He has become victorious. He is raised from the dead. He is alive, and he is victorious. Amen? Amen. And then verse 49, the last verse. Behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry in the city of Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. I'm not going to just send you out in authority. I'm going to send you out in power, he said. I'm going to give you authority and I'm going to give you power. And then in Acts chapter 1, Jesus instructed them, do not leave Jerusalem until you receive the gift I told you about, the gift that the Father has promised. For John baptized you with water, but in a few days from now, you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Amen. And then in verse 8, this is the promise I give you. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and you will be filled with power. Hallelujah. And you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, in Judea, and the othermost parts of the earth. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to the whole creation. Go. One word, one single command he gives us as he leaves the earth. Go. Go. The real truth is, you see, if every believer on the earth reached just two people for Christ, the whole world would be saved. Because there's about a third of the people that are Christians right now. Hallelujah. Just two people. Wow. There has never been a time as ripe for the message of the gospel as it is right now. The first call then to us is to go into our prayer closets, pray for the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into the harvest. God is looking for people who will pray and believe. He is looking for us to pray, to agree with him. He promises to lead us because he is the way. He promises to give us deep assurance that he will be there, that we are making a difference. He promises that his power will flow through us in word and in prayer. He promises to release his grace and mercy through our words. He wants us to know that we're changing nations, moving mountains, delivering the oppressed, healing people. And we are writing history. He wants us to know that we are valuable to his kingdom right now. Will we be that people? Will we answer the call to pray? But the second call is just as important. The call to go into all the world. He's calling us to go into all the world. He's not calling us to sit in a pew or to sing Christian songs. He's calling us to go and take the message of the gospel to everyone everywhere. Hallelujah. Let me share some thoughts from the funeral of Charlie Kirk's life. Over 100,000 people gathered in Phoenix for that funeral. That's amazing. And get this, there were 100 million devices online watching that. 100 million devices online. And probably there were 4 or 5 or 6 people. In fact, we had one device and we had 12 or 13 people watching it. So there was probably 400 or 500 or 600 million people who watched that funeral. Mercy. And they, yeah. And they received the gospel message 3 times. Hallelujah. And get this, 62,000 and counting requests have come into Turning Point from students wanting to open chapters on campuses across the nation. That's up from 3,000 he had, hoping maybe to get 5,000 someday. But 62,000 requests came in the first week. That's 10 requests for every campus. There's about 6,000 college campuses around here. There's about 6,000 college campuses in the nation, and 62,000 requests came in to start chapters of Turning Point. To get an idea of that, there's 62,000 requests, 6,000 college campuses. There's 20,000 high schools. So even if you put those together, that's still 2 or 2.5 requests for every school in the nation. That's amazing. Hallelujah. His life was marked by a bold proclamation of the gospel. He preached salvation without compromise. He led thousands of young men and young women to Christ all across the nation. And he backed his convictions with scripture. He was raising up a company of believers who stood for God's word, for biblical marriage, for the family, for truth in education, all of those things. And his assassination will go down in history as the greatest miscalculation of all time. Yeah. God is using his death to bring millions into the kingdom. It's become a catalytic event for the third great awakening. And it's happening right now. We're part of it. Out of his tragedy will come multiplied hundreds of thousands of voices as thousands of new leaders step into Charlie's role, Charlie's place. In his memorial service, let me just share a couple things about his memorial service. I don't know if you got a chance to watch it, but just to remind you if you didn't. The Director of National Intelligence, Tulsi Gabbard, said of Charlie, his words were his weapons. She went on to say, it's time for us to step into the arena and fight. Amen. White House Deputy Chief of Staff Stephen Miller said, you thought you could kill him, but you made him immortal. We will prove worthy of your sacrifice, Charlie. And Vice President Vance said, I've always been afraid to talk about my faith. But in the last 2 weeks, I've spoken more about Jesus Christ than in all of my other time in my life. He said, the murderer took Charlie from us unexpected, expected us to have a funeral today, but instead we have a revival in celebration of Charlie Kirk's life. The White House Facebook page yesterday, not yesterday, but this week, titled their post, A Revival. And in his speech, President Trump said, this is like an old-time revival, isn't it? Secretary of War Pete Hegseth said Charlie's started a political movement, but he unleashed a spiritual revival. And the brilliant Ben Carson, Dr. Ben Carson, said revival is coming and it is not going to be stopped. I believe that. Revival is here and it's not going to be stopped. Secretary of State Rubio gave one of the most powerful declarations of the gospel I've ever heard. Three times they were presented, people in the funeral and across the world were presented with a message of Jesus Christ. And Erica, without question, hers was the most moving of all in the funeral. When she said, "I forgive the man who shot Charlie, because it's what Christ did and it's what Charlie would have done." The answer is not to hate, not to answer hate with hate. But we know from the gospel, the answer is love. We must love our enemies and persecute those who use us. Powers of darkness were pushed back that day, and they're pushed back every day by the gospel of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Bless you, Lord. Our hearts may have been hurt. In Acts 4:33, it says, "And with great power, the apostles gave witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all." Great grace was upon them all. So the word is go. Pretty easy to understand. Share. Share the gospel. Share the word of the Lord. Share what he's put in your heart. Go and share. Go and take his word every day to somebody that needs it. Amen? Let's stand together. Father, we just give you praise and glory and honor because your word is so powerful. And you have given us authority and you've given us power. Even in the very last word you spoke to us, you gave us those things. And you told us to go. And so, Father, we make a commitment in our hearts today to say, "Lord, direct our hearts, direct our path, direct to whom we should speak. Open the door. Let your word come forth." Lord, we give you praise and glory and honor. We thank you and love you. We thank you for the authority you've given us. We thank you for the power of your Holy Spirit in our lives. And we thank you, Lord, as we go, you will go with us. You said that you would be with us even to the very end of the age. And so we thank you and love you, Lord. We bless you. So go. 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 Can I do this blessing again? Okay, put your hand in your heart. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. And great grace was upon them all.